Today we have two segments. The first is a constitutional minute covering the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. The second segment is the question of the month, where we have compiled your answers to the January question of the month. When did you start prepping and what got you started? Stay with us.
Welcome to Practical Prepping. Today is January 25th, 2024, and this is episode number 449. This is the prepping podcast with no bunkers, no zombies, and no alien invasions. Just practical prepping, where we believe that stuff happens, so we need to stay prepared. And we're here to help you get prepared. I'm Krista.
And I'm Mark. If you'd like the expanded notes for this episode, go to practicalprepping.info/449. And if you aren't receiving the Practical Prepping newsletter, go to practicalprepping.info and click on free PDF, and you'll receive the free Getting Started in Prepping PDF, and you'll be added to the newsletter. Our item for the day is a book by Carla Embry titled The Encyclopedia of Country Living 50th Anniversary Edition, The Original Manual for Living Off the Land and Doing It Yourself. To find that item of the day, go to practicalprepping.info and up at the top, click on Featured Items, and you'll find that.
Now, the question of the month for February 2024 is this. Have you ever received any resistance to prepping from your family members? And if so, how did you handle it? So please go to the website, practicalprepping.info, click on Leave Us a Message. We would love to hear your answer by February 21st, 2024. Now, we've also started a private group on Facebook for Practical Prepping. It's a place where we can interact with each other, and we invite you to join. The link is in the show notes and on the Practical Prepping Facebook page and website.
In this segment of the Constitutional Minute, we're talking about the Second Amendment to the United States Constitution. It's a part of the Bill of Rights, and it was ratified on December the 15th, 1791, and it states, a well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, the Second Amendment is often cited in debates and discussions about gun control and in debates about the rights of individuals to own firearms. The Supreme Court's played a significant role in shaping the interpretation of the Second Amendment through various landmark cases, and we'll talk about a few of those in a little bit. Now, these cases have clarified that the Second Amendment protects an individual's right to possess a firearm for self-defense within their home. And it's important to note that these discussions often involve differing opinions and perspectives on the balance between individual gun rights and public safety. As we look at understanding it, we need to look at the intentions of the original writers. We do that in Bible study. We look at authorial intent. What did it mean to the author? What did that person mean to say? Now, one key aspect of the Second Amendment is the reference to a well-regulated militia. The founding fathers were concerned about the potential threat of a standing army controlled by a central government. And the idea was that a well-regulated militia composed of armed citizens would serve as a counterbalance, providing security for the free state. Now, we look at the individual right to bear arms, and while the mention of militia is significant, the Second Amendment also protects the right of the people to keep and bear arms. This recognizes an individual right to own and carry firearms. The Founding Fathers recognized the importance of an armed citizenry as a means of self-defense and a check against tyranny. Now, there was that resistance to oppression. Some framers of the Constitution expressed the belief that an armed citizenry could serve as a last resort against potential government tyranny. So it was not written about hunting or about collecting. It was written to protect the right of the individual to own firearms, and one of their concerns was tyranny. Now, what are the points of contention that we see in debates on the Second Amendment? One is the individual right versus the collective right. Now, individual right advocates argue that the Second Amendment guarantees the individual right to own and carry firearms for self-defense, and they emphasize personal liberty and the right to protect oneself, one's family, and property. Others interpret the Second Amendment as protecting the collective rights of state militias rather than the individual gun ownership. They assert that the purpose was to ensure a well-regulated militia for the security of the state. Now, another point of contention is original intent versus evolving interpretation. Now, the originalist approach argues for the original interpretation, asserting that the Second Amendment should be understood in the context of the Founding Fathers' original intent. And this may involve looking at the history, context, and language used in the late 18th century. Others claim that it should be an evolving interpretation or a living document approach. These folks advocate for a more flexible, evolving interpretation of the Constitution, suggesting that societal changes and contemporary challenges should inform the understanding of the Second Amendment. The third argument or point of contention is gun control and public safety. Advocates for stricter gun control measures often point to the need for public safety and reducing the potential for gun violence. They may call for background checks, waiting periods, and restrictions on certain types of firearms. But now the minimalists, those opposed to the extensive gun control measures, argue that such regulations infringe upon individual rights and may not effectively address criminal activity. They emphasize responsible gun ownership and enforcement of existing laws. The next point of contention is the role of firearms in society. The self-defense group. Supporters of gun rights often highlight the importance of firearms for personal and home defense, where the public safety concern group expresses concerns about the role of firearms in contributing to accidents, suicides, and mass shootings, and they may call for measures to address these public safety issues. Then you've got the gun culture and tradition. For some, firearms are deeply ingrained in American culture and history, as they are in my family's background, and we view gun ownership as a long-standing tradition and a symbol of individual freedom. But those with the changing attitudes argue that the changing societal attitudes, especially in urban areas, may necessitate reevaluating the role of firearms in contemporary American culture. Now, I mentioned that there are several court cases that have gone before the Supreme Court that have really shaped a lot of the interpretation of the Second Amendment today. The earliest of which I'm aware is the United States versus Miller. It was a 1939 case, and the issue was a case involving the prosecution of two individuals for transporting a sawed-off shotgun across the state line without proper registration. Now, the Supreme Court upheld the National Firearms Act of 1934 and ruled that the possession of a sawed-off shotgun without a reasonable relationship to the preservation or efficiency of a well-regulated militia was not protected by the Second Amendment. This particular decision focused on the militia aspect of the amendment. Then in 2008, in District of Columbia versus Heller, this case challenged Washington, D.C.'s handgun ban and restrictions on the use of firearms for self-defense within the home. Now, the outcome of this landmark decision held that the Second Amendment protects the individual's right to possess a firearm for self-defense within the home. and it emphasized the individual aspect of the right and struck down the Washington, D.C. handgun ban as unconstitutional. Move forward to 2010, McDonnell versus Chicago. This case addressed whether the Second Amendment applies to the state and local governments, specifically challenging Chicago's handgun ban. And the outcome was that the Supreme Court, building on that Heller decision, ruled that the Second Amendment is incorporated through the 14th Amendment's Due Process Clause and applies to state and local governments. The decision extended the individual right to bear arms to the state and local regulations. In 2016, Caetano versus Massachusetts, this case involved a woman charged with possessing a stun gun in violation of Massachusetts law, but the outcome of the Supreme Court case was that they unanimously held that the Second Amendment extends to all instruments that constitute bearable arms for self-defense, not just those in existence at the time of the founding. This is the same way that the First Amendment applies to typewriters, computers, word processors, television, radio, and not just the quill pen and the printing press. Now, these cases have had a significant impact on the legal understanding of the Second Amendment. It affirms the individual's right to bear arms for self-defense. However, they've not resolved fully all the nuances and controversies surrounding the gun rights, and subsequent legal challenges and debates continue to shape the interpretation of the Second Amendment. It's one of the reasons that we need to pay so close attention to what's going on in our courts and in our legislatures to be sure that our Second Amendment rights to keep and bear arms is not infringed upon. Some of us believe that any gun law is an infringement. I'm not really sure I'm ready to go that way. I'm not sure that the American citizen needs to own bazookas or hand grenades or mortars. Some very special cases there. But I do believe, on the other hand, that the original authors of the Second Amendment intended for the citizenry to be able to own the weapons that the military owned. Remember, at the time, the military owned cannons, but many of the cannons in the Revolutionary War were borrowed from individual citizens. So they believed that the muskets at the time and the cannons at the time needed to be able to be owned by citizenry. So where do we go? One thing that we do know is that just like in the First Amendment applying to typewriters and computers, is that the Second Amendment applies not only to muskets, but also to every type of weapon that we see today that is in common use among the people, which includes the AR-15, the sporting rifles. Those types of weapons are in common use, and they are covered by the Second Amendment. We put a lot of hours and effort into researching the topics for the podcast, and it's days like this that I really appreciate Magic Mind. This little 2-ounce productivity shot really does give me more energy and focus. I feel less stress, more motivation, and it helps my memory. Magic Mind really does work for me. And you know we're honest with you, and we told you that it doesn't work for Krista. That's why Magic Mind gives you a 30-day money-back guarantee. Give Magic Mind a try. Sign up for a subscription, give it a try, and if it doesn't work for you as well as it has for me, just send them an email, and they'll refund all your money. It's that simple. We've put the link on the front of the website, practicalprepping.info. Click on that. Check it out and use the discount code PREPPER for up to 56% off. This is a segment that I've been looking forward to for a while. Earlier in the month, we asked the question, when did you get started prepping and what caused you to do that? And we've gone through and we've compiled quite a few answers that have come in through our Facebook group, that have come in through our Facebook page. Others have been emailed. But don't forget that the best way, and if you'd like to get your answer onto the podcast, is to go to the front page of practicalprepping.info. And over on that right-hand side, if you're on a desktop, probably on a tablet, it's going to be a section that says, leave us a voice message. Click on that, leave us your message. We'll compile those for February and share them with you toward the end of the month. Now, the question for this month was, when did you get started and what caused you to start? And there were several folks that in one way or another said that they were raised in a prepping family. And they mentioned grandparents, they mentioned parents, but a lot of folks grew up in a prepping family. One of the things that we noticed is that there were several people that referenced particular books. One of them said he started in high school after reading Alas, Babylon. Now, that's a 1959 post-apocalyptic book, and it explores the potential consequences of a nuclear war between the U.S. and the Soviet Union. Another got started after reading the Encyclopedia of Country Living, the original manual for living off the land and doing it yourself, as written by Carla Embry. This is a very extensive book. It's 50 years old, something like 928 pages, if I read that right. And it's a very highly rated book. We will put that onto the website under the featured item of the day on the featured items page if you'd like to take a look at that. And the print version's under $25. And I also saw that they have a spiral bound version for just a few dollars more. And the Kindle is something like $15. So it's a pretty good investment. Several folks mentioned the book One Second After by William Fortune, and this is a book that caused us to step up our prepping to another level. When we read this book 5 or 6 years ago, even longer than that, we really stepped up our level of prepping beyond what it was at the time. Now, one of our supporting members, Heather, said she grew up in a church that taught about prepping. But a couple of years ago, she got serious about it, and she uses the two-item prepping at the grocery store method, and she says she's built a nice stockpile of food with that method. Danielle said she started 16 years ago when she moved into her first apartment, and she mostly stored food and did some balcony gardening. And she practiced the two is one and one is none concept. And that brings us to the idea of backups. We need to have backups. If we have only one and it fails, we're out of luck. Think about it with lighters. You need multiple lighters. You need several ways of cooking food if the power goes out or if the gas goes out. So think about those backups. Laura started after tornadoes in 2011, and she says this, she was without power for 2 weeks, no gas, no phones, no cell phones, and she was alone with 5 kids. And she says that was a scary situation. I don't know if she's talking about the 5 kids were the scary situation, which is what it would be for me, or if it was being without power for that 2 weeks. But she got started after the tornadoes in 2011. Nicole says she started in 2010 in the military. They were deployed to South Korea, and they were required to keep 3 days of necessities packed and ready to leave at a moment's notice because of the potential issues with North Korea. And she says her eyes were opened to the what ifs. And that's a question we need to be asking ourselves from time to time. What if this happened? What if that happened? And it helps us to better focus on what we need to be prepping. Dave says he's been prepping for some 20 years, but he got serious when they moved to Florida and he began to do hurricane prepping. He says even though he's done that hurricane prepping, he hasn't been hit. But Dave, stay prepped, because anywhere in Florida is subject to be under the gun from a hurricane. Now, Hayden says he's been prepping for less than a year, but it was current events and what he feels like was instruction from God. Now, Krista and I believe that prepping is taught in the Bible, and that's one of the reasons we wrote the 31-Day Devotional for Preppers, one to help believers get closer to God through a daily devotional, and the second is to show believers who believe the Bible but resist prepping that prepping really is taught in the Bible, not only spiritually, but physically. Now, LaVon said she's been prepping for 10 years, and they started because of a financial situation, and they were where many of us have been at times, and they wound up going to food pantries and food banks, but much of the food that they got had a very short shelf life. So they began canning and began dehydrating foods in order to prolong that food's shelf life. Their situation improved. They improved their preps. They now own their property, and they raise much of their own food. And that's really where we need to be heading, is to be self-sufficient. Now, we had several that said that they started prepping because of a desire to be debt-free or a desire to be more self-reliant. We need to be both of those if we possibly can. The more self-reliant we are, the less we'll need to depend on others during the time of an emergency. Someone else said they started during COVID. Actually, we saw several that started during the COVID shortages. This particular person says that started during COVID and the prepping got them through the Texas Icemageddon. Krista laughed when I used that word the other day, the Icemageddon. But that's what Texas was facing. And this listener says that they got started because of COVID and it carried them through Icemageddon. Nina said, and Nina's a longtime listener, she said she's been prepping 13 years and she started when the children came along to be sure that they never went without. Now that's a reason to be prepping. She's got it going on. Now, author said that he started in 2012, but he kicked it up in 2017. And because of that, they were unfazed by COVID. They feel pretty good with their preps now, and they're moving to communications and alternative energy. Lindsay says that they started a few years before COVID, and they keep it low key, and they've been able to handle injuries of their 5 children at home without having to go to the emergency room. That's a great reason for us to be prepping our first aid. And that doesn't mean that we can handle everything. There are times that we need to go to the ER or to the quick clinic. But most of the injuries that happen around the house with our kids, we can handle with a well-equipped first aid kit. Kathleen says that she started in 2020 and one of the church members started a prepping class and that developed into a prepping lifestyle. That's the best answer, is that it develops into a lifestyle. For our question of the month for February, have you ever received resistance to prepping from family members? And if so, how did you handle that? Go to the website, practicalprepping.info, and click on Leave Us a Message and record your answer. We may just use that on the podcast. Now, we need your answer by February the 22nd of 2024. Again, that question is, have you ever received resistance to prepping from family members? And if so, how did you handle that? In today's unpredictable world, being prepared for unexpected health challenges is more crucial than ever. That's why I'm glad we discovered Contingency Medical. Imagine a health crisis strikes and the usual channels for medications are disrupted. That's where Contingency Medical saves the day by providing you access to emergency packs of antibiotics for ordinary ailments like urinary tract infections, ear infections, strep throat, and many, many more. We're talking about common antibiotics that treat hundreds of additional infections. Contingency Medical even has symptom management medicines for everything from nausea and diarrhea to motion sickness, ensuring that you're up to the task even if you're not feeling your best. We carry our Contingency Medical Ready Pack with us on every trip we make. We don't want to be caught needing antibiotics and have difficulty getting them. Contingency Medical also provides access to board-certified physicians for guidance on safe and effective treatment. Plus, the prescriptions are shipped from licensed pharmacies, so you know you're receiving quality care from start to finish. And get this, Contingency Medical offers free shipping on all packs, so there's no reason to delay. Now is the time to prioritize your preparedness. Don't wait. Go to the Contingency Medical link on our website and enter the promo code PRACTICAL for $20 off any pack. Contingency Medical and its products are not intended as a substitute for professional medical treatment or advice. Consult your healthcare provider. Today's cup of coffee comes from one of our new members, Gloria.
Gloria!
Gloria, we really do appreciate it.
We do. We're singing your name, Gloria, and thank you so much. And if you receive value from the podcast, please help us out by giving back a little, okay? First, you can buy us a cup of coffee, you know, just like Gloria did. And then second, you can start your Amazon shopping from our website. It costs you nothing extra, but it does pay us a small commission on some qualifying purchases. You'll find the links to both of these at practicalprepping.info. Both will help us out. We really do appreciate it. And you know why? Because stuff happens. We really want you to stay prepared.
And we'll see you next time. Today's cup of coffee comes from one of our new members, Gloria.
Gloria!
Gloria, we really do appreciate it.
We do. We're singing your name, Gloria, and thank you so much. And if you receive value from the podcast, please help us out by giving back a little, okay? First, you can buy us a cup of coffee, you know, just like Gloria did. And then second, you can start your Amazon shopping from our website. It costs you nothing extra, but it does pay us a small commission on some qualifying purchases. You'll find the links to both of these at practicalprepping.info. Both will help us out. We really do appreciate it. And you know why? Because stuff happens. We really want you to stay prepared.
And we'll see you next time.